God. Yes? You heard that before? Yeah. Do you agree? No? Yes? No? Okay. Doesn't matter. And I know that some of you believe that this is true, and some of you believe that this is not true. Actually, Penance Hill Road doesn't need to roam, so yeah. And Buddhism, Islam, and many other religions will not agree. And if you seriously think about this, this all religions lead to the same God saying. Actually, it doesn't make sense at all. All religion has a working principle. All religion is basically saying this one principle, which is if you are good enough, God will bless you, right? So what does it mean by good enough? The traditional Chinese religion would tell you that you need to follow rules. Okay, what rules? For example, every first and 15th day of the lunar month, you need to burn incense stick to your ancestor. Okay, otherwise they will go hungry. Okay, this is one of the rules. And if you burn things to your ancestor, for example, if you burn an iPhone to them, they will receive an iPhone. In where they are, I don't know where they are, okay? They will receive an iPhone. So I know most of the Chinese people would do something like this, like back in Hong Kong, in China, they would burn a building, a car, and it must be Mercedes, and I don't know whether they are going to burn electric vehicle right now. If they have electricity down there. So if you burn an iPhone to them, I know that they would not burn the SIM card as well. You know, right? Otherwise they would call you at night and you get busy. No, not good, all right? So, by burning stuff to them, they get stuff down there, okay? By burning stuff to them, this is an act of worship. You are worshiping your ancestor. I'll explain worship later on. And also, you would not just worship your ancestor alone. You would worship other gods. Okay, in the traditional Chinese religion, there's other gods. You would worship like heaven gods, earth gods, kitchen gods, door gods, and all the other gods. Okay, and the Chinese religion would say that people would come back. Reincarnation. You know the word? Reincarnation, they will come back in the form of a human being if you are good enough in this life. And but if you are not good enough in this life, you will come back like as a cockroach, a pig, or a worm, or something like that, or ant, something like that. Yeah. So. It all depends on how good you are in this life. So, once again, what is good enough? I remember a TV car advertisement many years ago. A few guys were driving at night on countryside. One of the driver was a Buddhist monk. Okay, anyone remember this ad? Okay. No, it's proved how old you are now, right? Everyone was driving normally at night on the countryside. But the monk was driving crazy, and everyone was shocked. What happened to the monk? And when they arrive, you can see the camera pan to the front of every other cars, and they were all covered in dead bugs. Okay? But when the camera panned to the car that the monk drove, it was clean. And then you can see the face of the monk. He was so proud and say, "See, no dead bug." Oh, this is not a good joke. You don't laugh. Apparently, the monk was following what rule? Huh? Yeah, thou shalt not kill, right? Don't kill, not even a bug. And then the monk, he can so proud to show off to everyone, "See, no dead bug. I didn't kill one bug." Okay, so will this monk be blessed by his God? Yes or no? Okay. Can you see the irony here? Right? So another question is, will he become a human being in his next life when he reincarnate back to this world? Right? Worth your thinking. So do all roads need to Rome? Do all religions need to the same God? Buddhism believe that every one of us has the potential to become a god. Okay? So they don't believe in one god. They don't believe in the existence of a major god. So because every one of you can become a god. So all religions lead to the same god. But you need to learn how to drive like crazy first, right? So, but what about Christianity? What about Christianity? You know, I've just been telling the Chinese congregation that Christianity is not a religion, okay? And I found that this is not an easy statement to swallow, and definitely not something easy to teach to the Chinese. I've just told you that all religion working on the same principle. If you are good enough, God would accept you and God would bless you, and then you should have an abundant life. Christianity is, God has already blessed you. God has already loved you. Okay? God has already accepted you. So now you may obey God's commandment. Okay? It's two major difference. That's the major difference. So Christianity is not one of the religion. The gospel is unique. What I mean is, we are not here to help you to live a good life so that you will be accepted by God in this world. Because you have already been accepted by God. We're not here to give you instruction to live a moral life so that you will be blessed by God, because you are already blessed by God. So, and according to Peter, we are living stones. We are living stones. Each one of us who believe in Jesus, we are living stones. We follow the direction set by the one and only one cornerstone. That's Jesus. So how do you know that you are already accepted by God? Peter says here in verse 9, that's the only verse that I'm going to focus this morning. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So, a chosen people. First of all, I must point out the fact that Peter was a Jew. You know that? Yeah, okay, everyone know that. And the letter was written to the Jews. Do you know that? Not every one of you know that. All the Jews who scatter among nations. Okay, I'm going to submit to you three very important words. The first one is diaspora. Diaspora is when God disciplined his children, when God disciplined the Jews, they were attacked by the Babylonian and many other nations. And as a result, many were captured. They become exiled in Babylon. So after 70 years of exile, they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. But many stay in Babylon, and many stay in many other countries. And Peter, he was writing to all these people out there, scattered among nations. The second word is remnants. This is a very, very, very important word in the Old Testament. Because throughout the history of the Old Testament, God disciplined his people several times. And after each and every major event, only a small amount of Jews remained. They had been faithful to God, and they restarted God's salvation history. And the third one is Messianic Jews. Okay, these are the Jews who believe in Jesus. Today, we have Messianic Jews among us. I'm not going to explain in details here, but you must not call them a Jewish Christian. Okay, this is offensive to them. You cannot call them Christians who are Jews. They are equally offensive. They are Messianic Jews. You can only call them Messianic Jews. They are the Jews who believe in Jesus. And Peter, he was writing to the Messianic Jews who were the remnants and diaspora in the first century. So why is it important to know this? First of all, the Jews were the chosen people, right? They were the chosen people in the Old Testament. And God chose Abraham, and eventually from one person become one nation. Not that one nation. They become a nation, okay? Israel, not one nation, okay? When Peter called the Messianic Jews a chosen people, it has a double meaning. Firstly, they were chosen by God in the Old Testament. And secondly, the Christians are chosen by God as well. All right? So they were chosen by God since their ancestor. Now they become a Christian. And they are chosen by God like we are. Okay? So what does it mean by chosen by God? Christians are chosen by God. This statement can be offensive to some people. So I have to refer back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul says, "For he chose us in him," which is Jesus, "before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. Well, this is what the Bible said. We are chosen in Jesus. When were we chosen? Before creation. And God chose us even before we were born. God chose us before we were able to do any good things or bad things. God chose us in Jesus. And God didn't choose us because he foreknew that we would choose him. Okay, this is not the principle in the Bible. God chose us in Jesus and in love. Right? Which means no matter how bad you are, no matter how bad I am, no matter how embarrassed I am, God chose me. to be his son. God chose you to be his children. God chose us like a father who are crazily in love with his children. And this happened according to his pleasure and will. We cannot ask God, oh, why you chose me? All right? Why you didn't choose him? You know, I've been asked this question many times before, especially when the girls, she was a Christian, come to church, and then her boyfriend wasn't a Christian, and she knew something about this principle in the Bible, why God chose me to be a Christian and why not him, something like that. They argue with God, and they argue with the pastor, and then I refer them to read this passage. Because when God said to Moses, God said, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So that's the answer, why God chose you, not him, not her. Okay, this is a very difficult concept to grapple, to understand. This is a very difficult thing to accept, to swallow. All right, I should stop here and continue my sermon. The Jews are chosen people. The Christians are also chosen people. Okay. Second thing, a royal priesthood. Oh, in the book of Exodus chapter 9, when the Jews were slaves in Egypt, God called Moses to bring them out. And God told Moses to speak to Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may worship me. Okay? Let my people go so that they may worship me. Can they worship God in Egypt? Can they? Okay. The word worship means to serve God. And also it means something that you don't like. Okay. It means to be God's slave. So instead of being the slave of Pharaoh, God is asking his people to be his own slave. Okay, I'll explain it later more. Slave in the sense that we serve only one master. Okay, not the kind of slave that we have chains and balls and whipping and torture. No, not this kind of slave in your mind. But the slave in the sense that we serve only one master. And that's the God of the Bible. God used this concept to his people when they were slaves to Pharaoh. And God told Pharaoh, you enslave my people. Now I want them back. Okay? So that they may worship me. Which means they may serve me only. They may become my slave, my property. They belong to me. So in the New Testament, the concept is we are either slave to sin or we are slave to righteousness. Romans chapter 6. But when we are slave to righteousness, it is an upgrade. Okay? We are no longer slave. We become what? We become a priest. Okay. Now, the job of a priest is to represent God before man, before human being, like an ambassador in a foreign country. You do everything in order to tell people that, well, if you are the ambassador of Australia and you go to other country, what would you do? you tell them that Australia is what country? Come on. What country? It's a good country, right? It's a great country. You tell people that this is the work of an ambassador. So being the priest of God, what would you do? What would you do? You go and tell people that God is good, right? So go home and rewrite your to-do list. This should be in your to-do list. Go home and write it down in your to-do list. Tell people that God is good. Okay, because this is what the Bible asks you to do, right? I'll explain it later. And Peter used the term royal priesthood because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, number three, a holy nation. When the priests come together, okay, when the individual comes together, we become a holy nation. So what is holy? Many people misunderstood this word, very important. And they believe that being holy is without sin. We do not commit sin. Being holy is that you have a halo on your head. Can you see a halo here? No, so I'm not holy? Yes, something like that, right? What's the meaning of holy? Being holy is to set apart. That's all, okay? When you go home and watch your mom in the kitchen, your mom brought char siu, and then she picked up, what do you call that, big knife? Is it a chopper? It's not a chopper, right? That's the big knife. And then raps, chop it on the char siu, and then she slightly moved the knife a little bit so that to set this part of the char siu apart from that part of the char siu. Is it very complicated? Yes, very complicated. That's how you do it, to set apart. So how do you set apart? How do you become holy? How? Same principle, you raise up a knife and then chop. Where do you chop? You know where to chop, right? And then move and set it apart. Okay? That's how you become holy. And then when you chop, you become a people belonging to God. So you just not set apart for no reason, no direction, no vision, no meaning. You set apart to God, right? You set yourself apart to God so that you are a people belonging to God. We remember that we are God's slave. We are God's slave. Well, it's very difficult to pronounce. We are God's slave. We serve God only. Now, this is the most important and very hard to understand, which is our identity. How can we serve only God in this world? Okay? And especially when we cannot see God. Young people, how do you serve God only, especially when you cannot see God? The immediate answer from most people would be, I serve in the church. Like MJ, I sing, I lead the service, I pray, and I even come and clean the church, all right? And some people would look back to the Old Testament and see, because Peter mentioned about royal priesthood, and see how the priests serve in the temple. But now, there's no more temple. The temple in Jerusalem has become a what? A mosque, okay? So how can you serve God in the temple? So Paul gives us two very important verses in 1 Corinthians, chapter 3 and chapter 6. We are God's temple. Okay? The people, all these people come together. We are God's people. And most importantly, our body, each one of us who believe in Jesus, our body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside us. So our body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God's temple is no longer about a physical building. It's about people. In fact, the concept of a church has never ever about a physical building. It's always about people. So what do we do when we come together? We declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's the job of an ambassador. All right? Tell people that God is good. Praise Him in front of other people, especially the non-believer. And some of you think that this is nerve-wracking. How can I tell this guy who is not Christian that God is good? How can I tell him he proclaimed to be an atheist? He's a Buddhist. He's Islam. How can I tell them that God is good? To declare is to make known what is hidden. So basically, what is hidden is the gospel. Don't know about the gospel. I'm not asking you to go around your office and share the gospel with those who do not believe in Jesus. What I'm saying is, you, if you're working, be a good worker, be a faithful worker, be an honest worker. If you are a student, study hard, be diligent in your study. Be nice to other people, love one another, that people may know that Jesus is in your life. That's how you do it. This day, you don't go around and tell people, oh, come on, believe in Jesus. What are you doing here? Don't worship idols. Come on. No, you cannot do this anymore. Right? So, in conclusion, right, I would like to speak a little more about the word worship. Right now, you should know that worship is not just about MJ. Sorry about that. It's more than MJ, right? It's not about singing. It's not about putting your hands together and pray and close your eyes. Yeah. Okay, forget about this. Okay, you can even open your eye when they pray. Okay, you can even stand like this. You can stand like this. There's no particular body posture when you pray. Okay, you can open your eye. So when you are driving, you can pray. Okay, when you are driving, don't close your eyes to pray. Okay? So worship is so think about what does it mean by serve God? What does it mean by being God's slave? Okay? Which involves a lot of work here. There's a lot of work here. It's not sitting quietly on Sunday in the church worshiping God. That's worshiping God. Okay? Corporate worship, nothing wrong. Okay, we should do this. We should come together and have fellowship. But just remember that. Don't go away believing that, oh, I have worshiped God already. Okay? Don't go away and believe that you have already worshiped God this week. You just started. Okay? You just started your worship for this week. Go home, go to your work, go to your uni, go to your school, and continue your worship with your work, with your study, with your relationship with your relationship with your family, with friends, and with this world. Be a good citizen. That's how you worship God in this world. So, what is worship? Worship is about how you become a human being in this society. Love one another. Be a good neighbor. That's how you worship. Oh, my neighbor, he's a Muslim. Oh, my neighbor, he's a Buddhist. I have nothing to do with them. That's wrong. Okay, you have everything to do with them because they are your neighbor. Those who are in need, they come to you, or you met them on the road. They are your neighbor, even though you do not know their name, they're a stranger, but they are in need. They are your neighbor. Help them. That's how you worship God. Be a good neighbor, right? So this is what? Our daily life, our normal daily life, okay? So worship is way beyond local church. It is about me as a person living in this world. This royal priesthood identity is all about how we may represent Jesus in school, in our workplace, at home, in the shopping mall, in a swimming pool, tennis court, football field, wherever you go, actually. Worship is about serving our master. So you are in this world either serving God or you are serving idols. Sex, money, power, okay? I know this is a lot, but if you just go to verse 12, Bible says, live such good lives among the pagans. Pagans is the non-believer in today's term. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Some of you know that I live in a complex of 14 units. This is an over 55 complex. So everyone in my complex, they are either old man or old lady. My wife used to make meals for the homeless. I know some of you served in the dignity dish before, right? Anyone? Dignity dish? They now move to Campbelltown because someone brought their property and they have to move on, and then they went to Campbelltown. Okay. Before that, we used to make meals for them so that they can distribute the food to the homeless. When my wife make fried rice, she make the best fried rice. So how do you know that this is the best fried rice? It's because when someone move away from Asquith to Hurstville, they call back to Asquith and ask them, where can I buy the fried rice? So it must be good, right? So my wife was encouraged. So she continued to make fried rice for our neighbors, for all the old ladies, old guys in our complex, knowing that they are old and they love Chinese food. So now my wife is quite famous. Famous. And people love them, love her. So when people love her, people love me as well. So this is very nice. And we quickly become very good friends in the complex, okay? And now I'm one of the committee member, strata committee member. I'm so proud of myself, yeah. So when I look back, I only lived there for like 2 years, and I quite enjoy living with them, and they quite enjoy us living with them. We enjoy each other's company. Are they Christian? They all said, well, we went to church long time ago. Now we don't go anymore. And then they asked me, so what do you do? What is your job? I'm a pastor. And they said, oh, you are a pastor. Yeah. So we continue to be a very good friend. Okay? So this is how I witness to this world. This is how I represent Jesus in this world. To be a good neighbor. Okay? Help them when they are in need. Help them when they are not in need. Do my best. Do my duty. Be a good citizen. That's how you witness Jesus. Because this is a very difficult word. This is not easy to represent Jesus in this world. So that's why you are a chosen people. You are not a chosen individual. You are a chosen people. You are not a holy individual. You are a holy nation. And God has chosen us in this way that we are people and a nation so that we may support one another in this journey. All right, that's how you relate to the gospel, relate to church, and relate to this world.